7:42 here on the Mighty 690. It is time for Legislative Update and our chat with Virgil Peck here. Senator Virgil Peck, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning, James. Doing well. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this morning.
Absolutely. So we've had lots of stuff go on, of course, of following things. Now, you guys are officially on your break, right, at this moment?
We are on recess.
Recess. Yay!
Well, it's not quite like recess when you're in grade school, elementary school. There's been a lot of work.
Tetherball and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's none of that. Dodgeball, maybe dodging some of the criticisms. But we shall see how things go on the recess. And then once we get back on the 26th of the month for our veto / wrap-up, it's supposed to be called veto. However, we're going to take care of some things. During the wrap-up session, we have not handled education finance. We had a bill. Sent Bill 83 that would have handled or taken care of education finance. However, the Senate decided not to pass that bill. I voted for the legislation. I think it's important that we fund public education. There were some provisions in there that some senators apparently didn't like, so they voted no. So we're back to square one on education finance. That bill had already passed the House. So that's one big thing we will certainly take care of. I'm confident we will have some opportunities to override the governor's veto. We overrode her veto on the Fairness of Women's Sports Act, which, James, I can't for the life of me figure out why anybody thinks it's a good idea to allow men to compete in girls' sports, or boys to compete in girls' sports. Not only are they competing in girls' sports, they're in the girls' locker rooms, restrooms, showers. I mean, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And anyone thinks it's a good idea, got a question there. Thinking capabilities, but we overrode the governor's veto on that. We've got another bill that I expect her to veto, which has to do with defining a woman and defining males. And it's designed specifically, James, to keep males and females out of each other's spaces, keep men out of women's fitting rooms, dressing rooms, locker rooms, restrooms. Same way with women. I don't want a woman coming in the restroom where I'm at, and I'm a guy. But so we shall see if she vetoes that. It amazes me how some people will discriminate against our young women at saying they're standing up for guys who say they have transitioned to a female, which, James, I don't care what you or anybody else says, and I know you wouldn't say this, but it's impossible, absolutely impossible for a boy to become a girl or a girl to become a boy, no matter what you do. Do a DNA test. Tamara and I were watching a history show, and they were digging up bones from several thousand years ago, and they said these bones were from a female. Well, how did they know that? A DNA test. But because there was nothing but bones.
Sure.
But anyway, so a lot going on when we get back. A lot we've already accomplished. Some good things, I think. Some things that I didn't really support, but that's part of the legislative process.
Now, you also have your listening tour that is coming up. Do you want to talk about that at all?
No, I don't.
All right.
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Moving on.
Yes, sir. No, I do look forward to every December and every April having a listening tour where I travel the district, mention some things that are going on in the legislature, and then it's called a listening tour for a reason. I'm there to listen to what the constituents are thinking, but next Monday, the 17th, I will be in Caney. That's where we will start the listening tour at 4:30 at the City Commission Room. And then I will be over here at the Yoke in Coffeyville at 6 o'clock. And then it really ramps up on Wednesday and Thursday, spending time in Independence, Chanute, Erie on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, Cherryvale, Altamont, Oswego, Parsons. Of course, I put out a press release. Those will show up in newspapers. And it's on my Facebook page. Various locations, but invite listeners to come out and visit with me. Make known to me what is on their mind, what's important to them.
Absolutely. No, it's a good opportunity for people. You meet there right at the ground level.
And by the way, I have invited the House members from the various areas to join me. Representative Blex, Representative Ron Bryce, of course, here in Montgomery County, Representative Goddard in Labette and some of Neosho County, and then Representative Ken Collins and Representative Mike Howes to round out the House members to join me in the various locations. So my point in mentioning that, it's not only going to be a senator, but also a House member for voters and constituents to visit with.
Excellent. We also got some updates on census revenue. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We're going to have our consensus revenue estimating group that will be meeting to update the consensus revenue. What they do, James, they get together, they predict the future.
Wow, this is crystal ball and everything.
You know, it's an impossible task. It just is. But we ask economists from the universities and from government to lay out what they expect to happen. Now, it was just mentioned on the news or weather, I'm not sure where you guys were mentioning it, but the drought conditions here in Kansas. If we don't get some rain in our area and other parts of the state, it's going to have a major impact upon our agriculture industry. Agriculture, James, is a real important industry to the state of Kansas economically. And I was noticing at my house, we haven't had rain at my place of significant measurable rain for I don't know how long. The ground is dry, cracking. As a matter of fact, I started watering some of my fruit trees, which are budding out, blossoming, and the fruit's going to be coming on. But if there's not enough moisture, the fruit won't make very well. So the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, the reason I mentioned that, they've got to figure out, okay, what is the future weather conditions? How's it going to impact agriculture? You can't predict that. How's the world economy going to play out? So they do their best, but it's an impossible task. We ask them to estimate future revenues, and then our budget is based off of future revenues. Currently, we are way ahead of their revenue projections, which they gave us last November. However, we're starting to get closer to meeting those projections because they were not as optimistic as what the economy was. I sure hope that they don't turn real optimistic, because I'm not feeling real optimistic about the future economy of the United States and our state. And I don't say that with glee or joy at all. I'd rather we have money coming in hand over fist so we can really cut taxes. But we shall see what the updated consensus revenue estimates are. And like I said, that's where the budget will be based off of, including education, finance. And speaking of taxes, we do have legislation.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Okay. I thought you might lead down that road.
But you literally took the words out of my mouth, so I just let you run.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. You're a professional. Thank you.
Well, okay, I'll just take over here. Yeah. James, if you want to walk out of the room, I'll lock the door.
Go grab some coffee.
Yeah, okay. But we did pass legislation, major tax cut legislation, Senate Bill 169. There are several provisions in that bill for everyone to like. I don't know why anyone would not like it, but, James, we're hearing there's rumblings that the governor may veto this piece of legislation. We shall see if she does. Can we override it? Didn't pass veto-proof. Passed the Senate 24-13. Passed the House 85-38. But just to hit some of the provisions in Senate Bill 169. One, residential property tax exemption, when it comes to the 20 mils on property taxes, was increased. Last year, we increased it from $20,000 to $40,000. 169 bumps it up another $20,000 to $60,000. So what that means is the first $60,000 of the appraised value of a property would be exempt from the 20 mils that are assessed by the state for property taxes, and that money is designed to go to schools. It does not, and I repeat, does not cut funding for K-12 education. They're going to still get their $6 billion, which is nearly $19,000 per pupil. So that will still be funded. We accelerate the elimination of the food tax on groceries. Currently, it's designed to expire on January 1, 2025. We move that up to January 1, 2024. So that would eliminate the sales tax on groceries. Now, many people, James, on that topic have heard the governor talk about axe the tax. And they're hearing no sales tax on groceries. That's not true. We will still have local sales tax on groceries. So in most places, you will still pay 3% sales tax on your groceries when you buy food and food ingredients. We put in place an indexing, which simply put, it means on your standard deduction, it will go up every year. It's kind of like it does at the federal level. I'm going to say inflation just for easy figuring, but the standard deduction on income taxes for the state will increase automatically every year. We put in place a privilege tax reduction. This privilege tax reduction is for the banking industry because corporate income taxes are scheduled to go down currently. Well, with this law, corporate income taxes will go down a little sooner rather than later. We're not really reducing corporate income taxes. We're just doing it now rather than about 6 months, a year from now. And then the big one that some people don't like, which for the life of me, honestly, James, I cannot figure out why they do not like it. It will create a single income tax bracket in the state of Kansas of 5.15%. Now, that's not low enough to my way of thinking, but that's where we settled. I was at the table during negotiations, wasn't happy a lot of the time, and the House could tell that. But that's the reason we negotiate. The House position was 5.25. The Senate position was 4.75. A half point difference. We hoped to settle right in the middle, right at 5%. I was hoping for 4.99. But anyway, individual income tax will be set at 5.15. Now, I realize, James, some people listening may say, well, wait a minute. The lowest bracket is currently 3.1, so 5.15 is an increase. That is true. However, we increase the exemption. So once you have your taxable income figured, then you deduct, if you're married filing jointly, an additional $12,600. For an individual, it's $6,150. So you do not pay any income taxes on that first $12,300 married filing jointly. So the reason I get into this long explanation is no one, absolutely no one, will face a tax increase because of this legislation. Everyone who's working will receive an income tax cut. And yes, the more you make, the more you save. James, I've had people say, well, this is just for the wealthy. Okay, let's back up for a second. The governor has proposed, and we have supported, eliminating the sales tax on groceries. So the person who buys a couple pounds of hamburger, which you're going to be spending basically 10 bucks for a couple pounds of hamburger, is going to save 6.5%, which is 65 cents. Another person who purchases filet mignon for their family, let's say it's a couple, and they're going to have another couple over. So that's four filet mignon, or if you're like me, you like more than one. But anyway, a filet mignon, you're looking at $22 to $25 a pound. So that's, you're going to spend easily 50 bucks. So the person who buys burger saves 65 cents. The person who buys filet mignon will save, spends $50. They're going to save over $3 in taxes. So was the food sales tax cut a cut for the wealthy? Because the wealthy are saving more because they're spending more?
Yeah. It's just like I say, you know, spend more, save more sort of thing.
Same thing with the income tax. Yeah. More you earn, the more you save. So when people give me this song and dance about, well, this is just for the wealthy, I don't have appreciation for that because it's not. It's for every Kansan. And by the way, we want to incentivize people to work hard to make more money so they save more in taxes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll get off my soapbox here now, James.
We
still see if the governor signs or vetoes this. If she vetoes it, apparently she thinks that state government's smarter on spending people's money than they are.
Yeah, well, now, she did sign this wind turbine bill that's supposed to, I guess, limit these blinking lights. But can you tell us a little bit more about this, and specifically this power take offtake agreement?
Yes, that's one, James, that I was a strong proponent, and I ended up voting for Senate Bill 49. But when Senate Bill 49 was in the Senate, I was a strong proponent. I was one of the lead proponents on it. I testified before the Utilities Committee on Senate Bill 49, encouraging passing. And then I read through it. I understood the bill, I thought, but I didn't realize what a power offtake agreement is. And I found out between when the Senate passed it and when the House passed it. And that a power offtake agreement is an agreement where the wind energy will sign a new agreement for their power. I'm going to try to keep this as simple as possible, but I learned that those power offtake agreements may not be renewed or put into effect for 15, 20 years. So the legislation for new construction, there are certain dates, and then you've got 2 years, which I thought it was way too slow, way too long. As a matter of fact, I encouraged both the Senate and the House to expedite this. Let's start sooner rather than later, because these blinking lights And that's not, I'm not saying blinking as in, you know, not using a curse word here, but these lights are flashing lights, if you will, are driving people crazy. And it ruins a night view. I was just telling my wife last night, I went outside to check, well, some things outside. And it was a beautiful starlit night, pretty out there. And I thought, well, if there were some of these wind turbines around with the blinking lights, that would ruin the night view that I enjoyed out in rural Montgomery County. But this Senate Bill 49 is to require light mitigating systems to be put into place on, so only the blinking lights will be blinking when there's aircraft in the area detected by radar. But it also requires an FFA agreement or approval. So it's a foot in the door. We got this in place. Now, potentially, we can look at maybe moving it up, providing relief sooner. So even though I support it, even though it's a good thing, it's not nearly the cat's meow that some people are thinking. It's not that great a thing. But like I say, it's a foot in the door. So eventually, the blinking lights will only blink when there's aircraft in the area, which is only about 3% of the time. So that means some 95-plus percent of the time, these lights will not be blinking. So, but the power offtake agreement, James, really bothered me. I told the House committee when I testified before them, I would like for them to amend the bill to take that language out. They decided not to, which is their choice. They passed it exactly the same as the Senate. The governor did sign it. So it's one of those things I feel good about, but am I thrilled about? No, absolutely not. It just really didn't do what I had hoped it would do.
Got it. Well, Virgil Peck, final seconds. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, there's a whole lot going on. We did, I'll just briefly mention Senate Concurrent Resolution 1611, the Senate passed, which would limit valuation increases to 4%. Valuation increases have been ridiculous the last couple of years. We got to get a handle on this. This would put it to the vote of the people. Do you want to limit valuation increases? So that's something the Senate will, or the House will take up.
All right,
come
we'll leave it there.
By listening to her. Okay. Sorry, I could run us out of time here.
I know, that's all right.